particular homily you're about to hear was recorded at St. Mary's Church during the celebration of the extraordinary form, the Latin liturgy. It ends very abruptly because after about into the, you know, at 15 minutes, the subdeacon that night was stricken with, he basically passed out over, he was sitting at the sedilia, and we noticed that he had passed out, and I looked over and saw that he was being attended to, and so I ended the pulpit, I ended the homily and left the pulpit, and got the holy oils. He looked pretty bad for a while, like he was quite stricken, but he came to eventually and ended up being just fine. But again, that explains why all of a sudden, sort of at an unexpected moment, the homily comes to a quick end. So this particular homily is on a call to sobriety from the letter of, well, both the Gospel and the letter of St. Paul, which reminds us that we need to be serious about our spiritual life because many, unfortunately, are not and are thereby lost.
The epistle appointed to Septuagesima Sunday is from the first letter to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter. Brethren, do you not know that those who run the race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So, run so as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. I therefore so run not as without purpose. I so fight as not beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps, after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud, and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. The Holy Gospel. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out at early evening or early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour, and did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing about. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said to him, because no man has hired us. He said to them, go you also into my vineyard. But when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers, and pay them their wages, beginning from the last, even to the first. Now, when they of the 11th hour came and received each a denarius, and when the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more, but they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, these last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on an equal level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat. But answering one of them, he said, friend, I do thee no injustice. Did thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not the right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. When it comes to a gospel like what we just heard, there is a part of us that might say, well, it doesn't seem fair that someone who worked the whole day would get paid the same as someone who worked only an hour. And the Lord wants to teach us something very important tonight in this gospel. Be very, very careful before you start demanding fairness from God. Because, brothers and sisters, the honest truth is that if God were fair with us, we would all be in hell right now. God, as it is merciful. That is what we have to depend on. Because you see, all of us have sinned very grievously. Every time we sin, we put our finger in God's face and we say, I have a better way. There is some better way that I have to do things than you've told me, God. I will not obey. I will do what I want to do, and I will decide if it is right or wrong. Now, I hope you can see that that is a very serious thing to do. And if it were not for God's mercy, all of us, and we've all done that, every time we sin, we would all be in very serious trouble. Do not demand fairness from God, because you will never, ever get to heaven that way. Only grace and mercy will get us there. And that's fundamentally what this gospel is teaching. Another thing this gospel teaches is that we have a sometimes wrongful notion of what it means to be a disciple. Because if you take the analogy of this gospel, those who went into the vineyard early in the day were like many of us who were baptized as infants and have been in the church and have kept the Lord's ways as best we could all our life. And those who come at the 11th hour are those who have last minute conversions. And the danger is that we think that somehow that being a sinner is fun and being a saint is dreary. And it's not. I hope you're clear on that. To be a saint, to be, if you will, among God's holy people, is the greatest blessing of all. You see, again, we sometimes have a wrongful way of thinking. And so again, we are not, I hope you're clear, bearing the heat of the day because we had to become disciples when we were younger. We, in fact, were blessed early in our life, if that's true for some of us. We were blessed early. And as it is, God has been able to speak to us for a longer period in our life. And that is a blessing. It is not a burden. But again, I simply remind you that the fundamental teaching of this gospel is that God is not being fair with us. God is being merciful. Whether we got into the kingdom early in life or later in life, we're going to need boatloads of mercy to ever stand a chance. And so it is. Be very, very careful about ever saying, God, you are not fair. Praise the Lord. That we'd all be in trouble. God is just, but His justice and His mercy are alike. Now, I want to say a word about the epistle and also the final line of the gospel. Another thing that we have to be very aware of today, I suspect many of you are aware of what I'm about to say, is that there are many today who think that just about everybody is going to go to heaven. Except a few really, really, really bad people like Stalin or Hitler or... But basically everybody's a nice guy and everybody's going to go to heaven for the most part. Now, that thinking is not biblical. The gospel ended today with this line that many are called, but few are chosen. Elsewhere in the scriptures we read where Jesus was asked, are they who are to be saved many or few? And Jesus said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will try to do so but be unable. For the road that leads to damnation is wide, and many choose to follow it. How narrow the road to salvation, and how few there are who find it. Again, very contrary to most people's thinking today, even many Catholics in the pew, it seems terrifying. It's a difficult teaching to receive, isn't it? It is not a call for us to be in a panic, because that's never helpful anyway, but it is a call for us to sober up. That we've got to be more serious about preparing for heaven, preparing for salvation. We've simply got to be more serious. It is not just a cinch or a done deal. It is not something that, as some of the Protestants teach, not all of them, but some of them, once saved, always saved. That, you know, you answer an altar call or accept baptism and you can never lose your salvation. None of that is biblical. The scriptures today are very clear that we've got to be very sober and serious about our journey toward God. Now, first of all, Paul uses this image of runners in a race. And he says that there are many who compete, but only one who wins the crown. Once again, this is a biblical way of saying, do not presume that everybody's going to get a trophy. I'm afraid that some of these children's things today, these athletic contests, you know, where they give a trophy to everybody. Please. You know, if everybody gets a trophy, nobody gets a trophy, right? And you know what? The kids know who really won. Come on. They were not born yesterday. They may be young. Or they don't keep score because they don't want any of them, their egos to be wounded that somebody won, somebody didn't. Well, the kids keep score. They do. And they know. See, there's a lot of envy out there. That if you're excellent, that makes me feel bad. So you shouldn't be excellent. That is diabolical envy. We should praise excellence. We should look for it. And we should, when we find it, we should praise it. And if someone is a little discouraged, well, maybe they'll try harder. But again, Paul is basically saying the same thing that we've been saying so far. That it is not a cinch that everybody who runs the race simply goes to heaven. He's saying that we've got to run so as to win. And there is not that everybody gets a trophy. Now, not only do we have to sober up and see this, but we have to be serious. He says, don't you see, he says, that every athlete exercises self-control in all things? What he means here is that true athletes who really are accomplished get up every morning and they train. They are serious about their training. They lift weights, whatever it is, the sport they're in, they train in it. Hours and hours a day they spend getting ready for the contest. Years ago, when I was a lot thinner, I used to run cross country and track. And we would run 8 to 10 miles a day getting ready for these races. Now that's dedication. You see, again, to be serious about running or participating in a sport means you're going to have to train, you've got to get up early, you've got to eat the proper foods, you've got to get the proper sleep, you've got to lift the weights, you've got to stretch to avoid injuries, all these things. An athlete is serious about getting ready for a race if they want to win. And so it is that Paul uses this analogy for us. We've got to exercise self-control. We've got to get up in the morning and say, I will pray today. I will read God's Word today. I will get to Holy Communion every Sunday. I will get to confession very frequently. I will discipline myself. I will curb my anger. I will avoid things that lead me to sin. I will be serious and sober about my walk. I must have God's help to do this. But I will be serious about going to God every day to ask that help. We're not just going to say, well, I don't feel like praying today, or I think I'll go to Mass next Sunday, and you know, some of the sort of sleepy stuff that the losers talk like. A winner is going to be serious about getting up every day and training spiritually. I will pray every day, read scripture every day. I will never neglect to be in God's house on Sunday. I will be there. I will get to confession frequently. That's what winners do. The losers throw all that stuff overboard and say, well, I'll just hope for the best. I'm telling you, if I had to run a 3-mile race back in high school and I hadn't trained to run that 3-mile race, I would never have finished it. I'd be dying by the side of the road out of breath. It takes training, and that's Paul's point here, that we've got to become more serious about our spiritual life. He goes on to say, they're doing this to receive a perishable crown. They used to get a laurel wreath when they'd win a race. And you know, in an hour or two, that thing is wilted. But we are running the race to win an imperishable crown. If they are willing to get up and work so hard for glories that pass away, we should be even more willing to work hard for glories that will never pass away. You know, who won the Super Bowl in 1972? I don't know. Who won the Olympic gold for swimming in 1984? I don't know. Was there even Olympics in 84? I don't know. But again, you see what I'm saying? Worldly honors pass away, but heavenly honors remain forever. And yet look at how hard many people work for worldly honors, for careers, for promotions. They go to school for years, 4 years of college, 2 more years of postgraduate, another 2 years for a doctorate, work, 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 papers, all this, just to get a career and to have the American dream. And then you die, end of story. But we are called to work hard for a crown that will never pass away. Again, Paul is trying to get us to be a little more serious about our spiritual life.